The third disease is when they study our economic systems. There's always been either a king or a monarch, and then we have capitalism and communism, which they see them all as pyramidal structures, where there's a few at the top who have all the power.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I brought in the three primary wounds of humanity, and I'm quite thrilled today to bring on our guest, Dr. Zayin Salam, who really talks about the three primary spiritual wounds. And we're also going to speak about her book and kind of dive into some delicious conversation today. She is an internal medicine MD, and this name of hers is a pseudonym. Her concern for the world led her to become a doctor and an energetic healer. What a delicious combo. And she now calls herself a matriarch, which is also delicious, just one of many who are rising. And she is a speaker for balance and a messenger for Gaia. My love, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start off with, how did you first connect to these three spiritual wounds?
Yes, I call them the three spiritual diseases.
And diseases, yes.
This is my first novel. I never thought I'd seriously be writing fiction. And I feel like I went through what other writers call this creative process, where they don't know exactly what they're writing. It comes to them step by step. So it started off superficially at first. My book is about the future. It's a dystopian. It's 2085. Climate change is ravaging the world. Our two heroines are doing research on teleportation for planet exit strategies. And basically, they discover another planet called Planet B. The book is called With Love from Planet B. And when they get there, they find this superior advanced human race. And those people diagnose our world with these three spiritual diseases. Yeah.
And how fun. So I kind of channeled through while you were writing the book.
Yes. Yes. I felt like so there are three of them. The first one was a surprise to me. It was the one I had to learn the most about right up till the end. I was learning about it. The second one I knew, and I had already taken the step to be brave enough to put it in my book. And I felt almost like I was being rewarded for it, if on a very, very personal level. And the third one I was working my way through. And I really feel like the first one was kind of like, here you go. Here's a gift for you since you figured out the two.
So go ahead and tell us what those three spiritual wounds are, and then we'll dive deeper into each one individually.
Sure. The first one is, believe it or not, it's the fear of the darkness. These other entities in this other parallel earth or parallel world that they call garden, they are not afraid of the dark. And it's both literal and metaphorical. And it goes as deep as the darkness of the universe.
Yes.
And they basically, not only can they literally see in the dark because we lost our nocturnal vision because we fell into light worship, but it's also metaphorical, where we are afraid of the unknown. Yes. And that keeps holding us back. And we're deeply afraid, to the point where it's a sci-fi book. So to the point where we can't figure out dark energy or dark matter or magnetism because of our fear of the darkness and our fear of what we cannot see. And these other entities to teach us, look, there are things even life cannot see. There are things you will not see with all of your instruments combined. So you can be scared of them. You can choose to have a negative reaction to them, or you can not. It goes a little deeper as they go into, it's almost like a warning sometimes in the books where they're like, hey, the universe is expanding and the darkness is expanding and you can choose to hide from it or you can choose to evolve and look into it. It's almost like they talk about this thing called dark sight, where you don't have to wait for light to show you things. We have our own internal light and we can see things. We can see into the darkness if we want to, if we work at it.
Yes. So that's the first wound. What's the second wound?
Yes. The second wound. So they're studying our world, right? They're basically, they've hacked the entire internet. They know everything that's going on in the future with all people. And the second wound is the misogyny on Earth. They basically, every time we broadcast something to ourselves here on Earth, we're sending out these radio wave signals all over the universe, right? So, for example, they find internet porn, which is so misogynistic. I actually looked up some statistics on that and I put it in the book. Where they're like, well, it's so unfair. It's totally one-sided. 90% of it, 90 to 100% of it is catered to men and men's pleasure and the women just totally being degraded in it. So that was the second disease, was misogyny that roots from our male god worship, from the fact that we have all been sort of subconsciously programmed to call God a he. And that has huge subconscious effects in each person, in each man and each woman, and in society as a whole. And we're like, yeah, you have to correct this balance. This is not the way it should be. In fact, in their planet, a woman has to have an orgasm to be pregnant. There is no rape. There is no rape. Both masculine and feminine energies have to be aligned, and it has to be like a deep spiritual, physical decision that is made on their level, on their planet. Yeah, and in fact, they say that part is actually an infection. It's been spread on purpose like a virus. They call it the male god virus, which causes amnesia and causes people to forget how things were before the male god virus took over. So that's the second one.
Okay.
The third disease, do you want me to go on?
Yes.
Okay. The third disease is when they study our economic systems. And over centuries and thousands of years, there's always been either a king or a monarch. And then we have capitalism and communism, which to us might seem very different. But to them, they see them all as pyramidal structures, where there's a few at the top who have all the power, whether it's government control and communism, or it's capitalism, like super rich corporations. And this is the future where corporations have taken over. And in studying this, they basically point towards our externalization of God and our externalization of power. And to put it very briefly, they say, as long as you all believe in one external God, especially a he God, you will create him. You will create one sole owner of all the multi-corporations in the future who have taken over the world. And they talk about balancing our power, to externalize it and to internalize it in balance. And they say this is the hardest one to cure of all of the wounds, of all of the diseases. This is the most difficult one because the shapes themselves have been ingrained into us. So they say our world runs in a pyramid structure and it's stable. It's evident in our history, but their world runs on a spherical structure. In fact, not only is their economy run on a spherical structure, but it's spinning. It's a spinning sphere, and they kind of explain why these shapes are important to our psyche. And I was learning all this as I was going along, to be honest. I didn't have these ideas before I started writing the book. It was sort of like parts of it were writing itself, especially these parts where the aliens are diagnosing us. And I learned myself, something I should say here, is the balance in that externalizing and internalizing of power is the balance in our own bodies, which is at the heart center. So as long as you're coming from the heart, you automatically achieve that balance of internalizing and externalizing your power. And yeah, this is something I'm learning myself, but I feel like the intellectual part of me figured it out just enough to write it in the book.
So delicious. I mean, these are really delicious conversations. So going back to the first one, you know, the fear of darkness, to me, this is very much, you know, the femme, the great mother is the void, right? And, you know, we have been deeply in a masculine society for a very long time. And I always perceive everything as a level of perfection in the sense that we are experiencing it for a reason. And, you know, now we are reclaiming within all of ourselves, regardless of our sexual identity, we're reclaiming that feminine. And the feminine is the unknown. She is the void through which we are birthed and through which we die and go back into. And she is nonlinear and she is non-logical. And our society has been deeply logical, you know, to the point of such fallacy and, you know, so set on, you know, having direct understanding of what's happening and the known and plans. And really all of that, from my perspective, just eradicates magic, right? Because magic is the real connection to and the communion with the great powers of the universe, divine orchestration, synchronicity. And when we are working in just one of what I call the Trinity, which is the father, the mother, and the child, and we're working in just one of those, right, just the masculine, we don't allow ourselves to move with that power. And so we revert to force, right, which is really super prevalent on our planet. But the other thing that comes up as you speak to the fear of darkness is death. And this is such a potent thing in humanity. And from my perspective, the whole thing with COVID would not have been experienced anyway near that it was had we not feared death. Because that fear of death, we push so hard against it and we do whatever we can to avoid it, to stop it. Meanwhile, you know, death is part of the process. I had this beautiful experience. This has been up in my space a little bit with my clients, et cetera, that I've been telling this story again. I had this beautiful opportunity through my dog a couple of years ago when she passed. First off, as she left her body, she came back into my space and just brought so much love. I was just crying and she was just, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you so much. And my partner and I were actually packing to get ready to move. So she just hung out with me for a good like hour or so. And we were just like, just kind of like energetically nuzzling each other. It was so delicious. And then out of nowhere, this masculine voice came in. It felt very angelic. And he said, she's going to leave now, or she needs to go now, or something along those lines. And for some reason, I felt like I literally turned my physical body and I saw just pure indigo. And I watched her move back into her indigo body. And I felt the absolute indescribable joy and bliss. It was so overwhelmingly beautiful. She granted me that moment. I was so deeply honored to have experienced that. And I wish I could have everybody on the planet experience that, because what you realize is that you go back to source, you go back to self, you go back to this inexplainable amount of joy. And I've spoken to, I used to be an animal communicator. I used to speak to animals all the time that had crossed over, and just the pure joy and bliss that they come from. So we don't need to fear it. It is a radical change, and therefore we can feel uncertain in it. Right? We can feel unknown in it. But when we understand that it's simply a transformation, another death and rebirth in the cyclical, constant process of death and rebirth, we begin to honor it much more deeply. And, you know, that is the actual act of death, but it's all of the death cycles that happen. There's constant death and rebirth within our own personal spiritual journey, as well as, you know, on the planet.
Yeah, that's a profound experience you had. Wow.
Yes. Yes, I, for some reason, it's come back up the last couple of days. So just really honoring, you know, that she gifted me that. To feel that much joy is so incredible. And then the second one that you speak of is the I can't remember how you worded it, like the he-god, right?
The male god portion, yeah.
Yeah.
The he-god, yeah.
Yes. And again, just how that has, I love how you speak to it from a psychological aspect, because it is deeply psychological when we think of a man being the god or having of power, and only worshiping. And, you know, for the most part, it was a white god, right? Like a white male god. Like that says so much about what we have aligned to in the deep subconscious realms of humanity.
Even in Islam, I was born Muslim, even though it's, they say, we know it's not really a man, but there's no other word for it in our language. Didn't bother to come up with another word. So it's not a white man in their culture, but it's still a he, it's still the masculine. And that has a huge,
right.
We will only find out in the future how much it has affected our psyche and how many powers, natural powers, women have lost, because we're in this subconscious world where literally our mass belief adds up. And if everyone around you is giving the power to the he, and you're the only one giving the power to the she, you're trying to birth it. It's hard.
Well, and it goes so much into the suppression of the feminine, also with the feminine being that unknown being, the void, the representation of the void. It goes into the massive suppression that has happened. And specifically, I speak a lot to sexual energy and our sexual power. And, you know, what you were saying about porn is 100%, you know, like the way that we have degraded women sexually, as well as suppressed women sexually. You know, there are men can speak out loud about it, women can't, otherwise you're a slut or a whore. And, I mean, there's so many different ways, there's so many different conversations to have there. And as I've reclaimed my own sexual power, you know, in all honesty, I'm not surprised it's been suppressed. It is so effing powerful. Women in their sexual, healed sexual energy are so powerful. So if you want to create a male run society, yeah, you're going to have to suppress that because it's okay. Not going to let it happen otherwise.
I feel like you should talk more about that.
About what? The sexual power?
Yes, of a healed woman. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I talk about it a lot, but it's one of those things where within the suppression, you know, we women have taken on so much shame. Yeah. I had so much shame in my sexual energy. Whew, I wasn't even aware of it, you know. I wasn't even aware of how much shame I held. But as I've healed that, coming back to the innocence, because innately sexual energy is innocent.
Yes. Yeah.
And just so healing. It really wants to bring us into communion and ultimately divine union. And, you know, the woman, when we really open up sexually, we are able to really explore interdimensional experiences orgasmically. Mm-hmm. And we just draw in so much healing, creative life force energy into our own bodies and gifting it to our partner as well. So it's so deeply healing and transformative.
Yeah. Sure.
And remind me what the third disease was.
The third disease was externalization of God. To always think of God as this external concept, and to the search and the insistence that there is one true God out there. And they explain how this concept of one true external God is in fact opposite the concept of oneness of God.
Yeah, right.
Right? And you just change the words around, the entire meaning changes. The oneness means everything is a part of God. We are all little tiny dots of God, like, and the one true external God means you never know. The answer is somewhere external to you. Like, you're not a part of it. It's a separation from God. And furthermore, in our Abrahamic religions, they've made it one external masculine god, which they connect with why our economy and our world and our inequality is the way it is. There's a few at the top who will own everything, and it'll literally be a few men, and then ultimately one man who will own the world in the corporate future. And to balance that means it's not complete internalization of God. Like some people say, you know, I took shrooms and I realized I am God, but it's a balance of that power. Like, yes, there's power external to me, but there's also a lot of power internal to me. And that balancing point, I believe, is the heart center.
And yes.
Yeah. So that's about the most I would say about it. I don't want to over logicalize it and draw all the lines, because everyone will figure it out and feel it on their own.
Yeah, I see it a lot in the government and the way that humans tend to give away their power, and then they say, well, it's all your fault.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm going to give you all my power, and then I'm going to blame you for, I don't, now I feel powerless. Now I feel helpless, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. As long as you want a villain, we'll create them. It's part of our story structure as well. Just, yeah. It's, the book taught me a lot, definitely. I had no idea I was going to write about all this when I started out.
Yeah, and I just want to touch on this a little bit more, as far as, you know, you talk about the heart center, which, you know, definitely is. And, you know, I feel like there's a little bit of confusion there, as well as people think that, you know, kindness is working from the heart, which it can be. But kindness can also be martyrdom. You know, kindness can also be us not in our power, right? So working from the heart is really the truth of love. It's not the emotion of love. It's how, you know, unconditional love really desires to express in the understanding that it's always serving the higher good of all. From my perspective, always serves the higher good of all, which serves ourselves as well. So, you know, women in particular have been in this real martyrdom energy of like, oh, I have to give and give and give and be nice and be kind. And, you know, that's just like, you have to give to yourself, because you can't give if you're not giving to yourself. And anything truly from the heart will never guide you to do that. It will never guide you to overgive outside of yourself without loving yourself first and foremost.
Exactly. I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. Exactly. In fact, these aliens will also say the heart has been misunderstood on our planet. We, in our songs and our poetry and our movies, we think the desires of the lower brain, the reward, punishment seeking, people confuse that with the heart, and it's not. The heart is a very electrical, precise, electromagnetic, logical organ, and it has this field around our body, right? So I feel like maybe we're beginning to discover what the heart center really is. And the kind of spiritual unconditional love you speak about. Yes.
Yes. That's a very important well put. Point. Yes. Beautiful, beautiful point. Have you spoken to these beings since you wrote the book? Because I feel like this, you know, the book came through fiction, but I don't believe that they're fiction.
You know what? I am, you know, I'm an MD, and I consider myself to be very strictly scientific. I was so scientific, even in what I would put in the book and what I would not put. Over the last 2 years, it became very obvious to me that this was a spiritual process happening to me. I had so many signs and synchronicities. And let me tell you a story. So I never thought seriously that I'm actually channeling or communicating with beings, right? Until the point where the book was initially called Planet B, and that name got taken. And this was happening exactly at the time when my designer was designing the cover of the book, and we had a deadline for an ad. So I had to decide in 2 days what the name of my book would be, and I was freaking out. Mm. And eventually, after a day of losing sleep or two, I settled on from Planet B with love, which I then changed to with love from Planet B. In that instance, when I changed it and I was listening to my heart center, I said to myself, I'm going to call it this and leave it up to them. And when I said that to myself, it was sort of like at some subconscious level, maybe a part of me had accepted it. But that was the first time I consciously accepted, like, wow, I actually said that. But yeah, I feel like there is a higher vibrational realm or some place my higher self was in that brought these ideas down to me. So
yeah, when you spoke about it being your spiritual journey, I totally got bliss lit, which is a term I use when bliss runs through my body. And it's a lot of times I get it for various reasons. And one of the reasons I get it is when truth is spoken. And it's really has nothing to do with my mind. It just happens. So yes. And then also when you talked about shifting the name, I can really feel the bliss hits as well then. And I see and feel you deeply connected to them. I would say from a very non-MD perspective that you have ancestral lineage there of the non-human form. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see as you carry forward, you know, if you continue your communication with them. Have you ever tried automatic writing?
I have not. I have not. No.
It's very similar to what you did with the book. It just doesn't have a, it doesn't have an end goal outside of just bringing forth the information. Yeah, it reminds me of the author, and I'm forgetting everything right now with regards to who he is and what was that book? Oh, I'm not going to be able to remember it. But he wrote, The Alchemist.
Oh, yeah.
He said that that book did not come from him.
I think
he said all his other books, there was a process and all this, and this one just right onto paper. And he does not take credit for it. So beautiful. Such a beautiful process. You know, that process of connecting to your creative energy and bringing it forth in a book is no small feat, right? It's a big deal to write a book. And what else did you really notice through that process of how your external reality really shifted?
There was a lot that I'm still trying to process. And I feel like maybe others know more about what happened to me than I did, because I will get into this state, for example, where I start seeing my thoughts and I'm looking at lines and shapes in my mind's eye and they have meaning. Their meaning is directly connected to what I'm thinking and feeling. As I change my perspective, these lines and shapes that I'm seeing in my mind's eye, they take on colors and they move and they align. And it's almost this process that I do where I balance them and I beautify them. And when I manage to do it, like you said, the feeling of truth in your body, I started feeling energy running through my body. And then I knew this is something I should definitely put in the book. This is a truth. And it took me a long time to even like, admit like, yeah, this is happening. I can't say it's not happening. It's definitely happening. So when that happens, when I'm in the zone, that's beautiful. I had some signs and synchronicities. My external life, I think I became a hermit writing the book and I'm slowly getting out of that hermit mode. There are probably so many parts of myself that I forgot that maybe will come back to me. Also, I'm curious about going deeper into the spiritual journey. So I've started meditating more almost daily and just keeping an open mind, learning from spiritual people who know more about it than I do.
It's interesting to me, and I say this with absolute compassion and love and honor for you and your journey. It's interesting to me because you say that you're a logical person, which is really a deep reflection of, you know, a preference to our inner masculine.
Yeah.
And a little bit of resistance to that feminine energy within, right? And not femininity.
Yeah.
But the primordial femme, the true definition of femme, which we haven't experienced on our planet for 5,000 years. And you know, to me, it's this really delicious, like, coming home to where we're all of it, right? And how do we find where those places meet? Because that's, to me, where God is truly revealed through us, is where we combine the masculine with the feminine. Because just as being swung into the masculine, which is where our entire society is, we can also be really swung into the feminine. So we want that balance. And what I find is that when somebody like you, who is deeply logical, when you start to really open up to that feminine, wow, you become such, I mean, you are a magnificent being, but you really unlock those parts of yourself. I was very masculine as well, and I still am quite masculine in a lot of ways. But I wouldn't say that I was logical. I was masculine in different aspects. So yeah, when we're connecting to that feminine energy, do you feel that in yourself?
Oh yeah, you're totally right. You hit the spot. Yeah, definitely the feminine. My own feminine is an unknown to me, and you know, before writing the book, I thought I had done the work where I superficially knew God is not a he, but writing the book, I realized how deep it goes, and I still have the work to do to kind of cleanse my own subconscious of the he God worship. So I talk about it now more openly. I feel like it makes a difference. But even without that, just going internal, yeah, there's a fear of my own femininity. And I think you said it best. It is an unknown for all of us, especially for some of us.
Yeah. And I just honor your vulnerability, because absolutely. And we all go through, we all fear it. You know, for me, shifting and opening up to more of my feminine energy has been the ability to learn to surrender into her and her, for one, her power. But, you know, in her, like, she is nonlinear and pretty chaotic. So when we're in that energy, you know, she can shift and twist and turn. You know, she moves in circles and in spirals and all of those. You know, she's not making hard turns or linear aspects. And yet she just reveals so much of ourselves to us. So it is a journey for all of us to surrender into that and let go of, you know, the perception of control, right? Because we're never in control.
That's right. That's true. It's an illusion.
I used to think I was never a control, like, freak or person, you know, I don't really like the word freak, but like I didn't think I was like controlling until I started working with my feminine energy. And I was like, whoa, I'm trying to control everything.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that too. Definitely try and control, especially in my own feelings.
Did you have a lot of emotion arise? Like, you know, when these three diseases showed up, they're really profound. I mean, I really celebrate you in connecting to this information. And I honestly, like, really look forward to you going on that journey with them more, because I think so much of humanity could really learn a lot from you speaking about them. I imagine it triggered quite a bit emotionally while you were connecting to them. Is that correct? And what was that experience like?
So that's the middle part of the book. And I tell people the middle part of the book, where they're in this other planet, that was definitely not all me. A lot of it was channeled, or it was my higher self. And it came through in nuggets of truth that I earned. It came through gently. The emotional problems that I felt was when I, for example, I sent it to my first editor, and she hated it. She hated parts of it. She hated the whole male God worship thing. And I then realized later on she was like a practicing Christian, and she had done theology. She didn't, when I spoke about, for example, the porn statistics, she did not know what it was. So she was living in a bubble, and I didn't know there were so many women who just didn't know what I was talking about. And the way that some of the people beat it down, like I started crying. Like I was like, I'm doing all this, I'm putting myself out there, I'm putting all these facts after research out there, and there are women who just don't want to listen to it. And then I realized, obviously, that's not my audience.
Yeah.
And I got over it. But it's, that was the difficult part, is am I saying too much? Because being shamed maybe for speaking about these things and being made to feel like I'm the extreme one. So I have this one synchronicity that I remember, if I may quickly share. I was having one of those days when I was in the chapter where we're talking about the misogyny on Earth. And I've condensed it a lot. And I'm thinking maybe I should delete this one paragraph, which is, it's nothing I made up. It's literally a study done on pornography in 2018. And I'm using the same numbers. Okay. I'm not making it up. And I decided, okay, I think I'll delete it. That might be disturbing for some people. And I went to pick up my food, my dinner. I have never before, and I have never since then, seen this, but the car in front of me in the traffic light, his number plate was a porn site. And I was just like, am I seriously looking at this? And it was. And here I had this moment of, duh, this moment of like, you, here I am, a woman feeling so bad because I disturbed another woman, and she was like, I don't want to read this stuff. And I'm trying to put myself out there. And here's this dude completely shamelessly driving around with this really hardcore porn site on his number plate, on his license plate. And it was just like, okay, I get the sign. I'm not removing this paragraph from my book. You know, it's one of the, you see, the programming is still there, right? If a guy can do so much and a woman is questioning herself, even when she's doing the bare minimum. So I myself have to work through that and just kind of step into our own power, and especially not fear judgment from other women. That part, it hurts, but I think we'll get better. I think the next generation, and with women like you out there and the things you just said right now in this podcast, they're going to stick with me. Right. So we keep on, we keep putting out our little nuggets of truth that we've learned, and one step at a time.
I really love that you brought in that story. And I got bliss hiss again while you were talking, when you brought up the license plate.
So you can feel it in your body.
Yes. Oh, 100%. I feel like everything in my body.
What is that? Because that's new to me, but that started for me. Like,
it's the feminine.
It is.
Yeah. It's empathy. It's being empathic, which is a superpower, not a weakness. Like, because ultimately, when we're deeply empathic, we get to experience ecstasy. We get to experience orgasm non-sexually. We just get to experience pleasure and bliss and in all aspects of life. So it's deeply profound and sensual. It's a sensual way of living. I just love that you brought that up, because it's so interesting, isn't it? I really feel it in my heart right now of like, that we are so programmed. This has been, I mean, this has been ingrained in us for 5,000 years. And again, I always see the beauty in everything. So I don't come at it from a victim mentality, but that we've been so programmed that women will defend it, right? And will ostracize each other. I mean, that's been, wow, such a part of my experience of being ostracized by other women. And you know, because that's what we were taught, is like to compete against each other and to push each other down, like that we all have to suppress the feminine, including women to suppress women. And perhaps that's the most, you know, like deeply cut wound, right, is that we suppress each other and push each other down and continue to protect and validate this he god and this part of our society that is so just deeply wounded. You know, I mean, it reminds me, I heard a tantric teacher, this was many, many years ago, she mentioned how her perspective, all war was rooted in sexual tension. And, you know, when I connect, now that I didn't understand the feminine to the degree that I do now when she said that. But now that I understand the feminine, you know, she is nourishment. She is nurturing. She is tender. I mean, she's powerful AF, but she is tender and compassionate. And when we bring the feminine back on this planet, guess what happens to war? It just dissolves. Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is beyond our ability to comprehend at this moment, isn't it?
Well, I think we're getting there. I'm hopeful. Yeah. Writing the book made me hopeful. It started off as a dystopian rant. I started writing it when Trump was in power and he had pulled from the UN Climate Accord. And that to me was like, why would anyone do that? So many millions of people are going to die in the equator, in the tropics, and like the climate change effects. And I started writing it in anger. And the next thing I knew, I was my own religious trauma was being sorted through the writing. And then it became really spiritual. And then it just became this whole thing. It was great. Yeah.
It's really such a beautiful story, my love. I really celebrate you with it. Do you have any recommendations to the audience? You know, perhaps I think I recommend to the audience to definitely reach out and get your book, and we'll talk about that in just a sec. But, you know, I always like guests to bring forth kind of direct action steps or things that you would like to tell the audience that they can do in their lives to help them.
Yeah. I've been convinced over the past couple of years that there truly is a spiritual awakening happening. It's not just something people are saying. It's happened to me. One of the messages I got again and again is, if me, one person writing with sincerity and passion, brought forth these truths, I feel like there's so many people out there. If you have an inkling, and if someone out there feels like they have a book in them, go ahead and write. And also, we need to read. We need to read each other's books. There are things that I can never say, even on my TikTok, but that I can write in a book, and they're meant to be read. And, you know, I think about the logical fact that women were literally not allowed to read or write. Look at what the Taliban are doing right now in this day and age. Why? There's literally like, it's a box that hasn't been opened. We need women to read and write, and we need to maybe do that consciously to seriously support what is coming out of women's minds. What is their experience? What are their words? How do we change the language? I don't know. Have you written books? Because you have a way with words and language. Language itself is a mystery that language itself, all of them, especially the English language, it holds so many paths for us to go deeper. It almost makes me wonder, where did language come from? The mysteries and the words and the powers and the meaning that it holds. So I feel like there's a lot that the feminine could teach us, just using the same words that we use right now. And it kind of goes into the darkness and the unknown, and eventually to things that we can only feel, we can't really express.
I love that, because also, I feel like, go ahead.
No, also to just believe in yourself. If you feel like something interesting and supernatural might be happening, stay grounded, you know, don't believe everything. But yeah, it did happen. That was a sign. That was a synchronicity. There definitely is. We are all connected. Yeah, that's all.
I think it's so powerful to remind people to write, to get the things that they feel. I think there's a lot of people that feel like writing and they feel like they have to have it all figured out. And, you know, and just hearing your process through it and how it unfolded and how you came to, I mean, these really beautiful truths of these three diseases is just so beautiful and profound. So I definitely invite the listeners, like you said, to write. And even, you know, sometimes it's like, just write for yourself. And if that turns into something else, fantastic. But it's so powerful to write and let that stream of consciousness, because it is a stream that flows, and you can really just allow it to flow when you get into that writing. writing capacity. So it's very, very profound way to open up and really connect to deeper truths that are, you know, inherent in your own wisdom and your own consciousness. So it's so delicious. And absolutely, we are in an awakening. And I have profound spiritual experiences constantly. And, you know, I for some reason have never second guessed them. And I've worked with a lot of people who have, and I'm not better than anybody. It's not about being better than or worse than. We all have the things that we're limited on, and we all have the things that come easy to us. And you know, that it, when we really are able to just like breathe into our bodies and just like let yourself believe, like let yourself believe and see the miracle, let yourself see the synchronicity, let it be true. You can really grasp a depth from it, that if you're wanting to kind of push it away or like, I don't know, I think I just made that up. You know, you're really not letting the fullness of the experience in. So I appreciate your advice very much to the audience. I think that was very, very, very beautiful and helpful. And obviously, how can, first off, how can people buy your book?
Okay, so it's on Amazon for $1, and I wanted it to be affordable and free for people all over the world. So I made it free right now on all other ebook platforms. So on Apple ebooks, Google ebooks, Kobo, the whole list, Smashwords, Everend. It's free in ebook form. The print is now out. The hardcover will be out soon. You can order it on any of the platforms of your choice. The audiobook, the audiobook is narrated by an award-winning Gabra Zachman. She has a beautiful voice. Her voice is on a whole other level. So I'm really excited that she narrated my book. And the audiobook is out everywhere as well. Audible, Spotify. If you're paying for Spotify Premium, you can listen to the audiobook for free right now. It's included. So I'm excited. But yeah, if you guys want, you can go to my website. It's called planetbethebook.com, which will give you the links to buy it from all of these places. Or you can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, whatever is your choice. Or Audible, Spotify, Apple, wherever.
So delicious. Yes. And social media, where are you on social media? And how else can people connect to you if they desire?
Right. I am on TikTok. My handle is With Love from Planet B. So if you type that in, you can probably find me. And my TikTok is not the same as my writing. My writing is, I feel like, more polished and clean and directed from my higher self. My TikTok is just me. If something happens, I'm going to go on TikTok and just talk about it or rant about it or complain about all these laws being passed. So, you know, just keep that in mind. But I'm on TikTok. Yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, we want just you, right? Like, you don't have to be polished. You and your perfection and just how you are is absolutely beautiful.
Well, I was so excited to listen to what you had to say, especially about the energies and the feeling of the bliss, because I'm new to that and I feel like you know more about it. So I'm going to go back to your, probably listen to all of your podcasts. Are you on Spotify, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome. Absolutely. Yes. This was just such a delightful conversation, my love. And again, I really celebrate you in your channeling and in your process, your spiritual awakening, and these beautiful truths that you brought through. Spot on, my love. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for teaching me about this feminine energy. Yeah, the unknown, the great void.
The great void. Let's all dive into our deliciousness.
Yes. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And to my fellow ecstatics, thank you so much for joining us here today. Make sure you get the book and share the book. You know, this is a great opportunity to bring these things in for maybe people who are less spiritual because they might just enjoy the nonfiction literature. And so this is a fun way to spread this information to maybe people who are less open spiritually. So please get the book, spread the word here for this beautiful being. And as always, I look forward to you guys on the next episode of The Ecstatic Woman. I love you so much.
Thank you for being a part of The Ecstatic Woman podcast as you experience each new day. We want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.